This is all of it from WNYC. I'm Kusha Navidar, and for Allison Stewart, who's on medical leave. Detroit-raised soul singer Betty LaVette's 12th album in her decades-long career is simply titled LaVette. Earlier this year, she joined Allison Stewart on All of It to discuss the album, which received a Grammy nod for Best Contemporary Blues Album. Here's Malik to tell us more.
Betty LaVette is the ultimate vibe. I remember when she joined us on Zoom in her shades just moments before the interview. I thought to myself, this woman is slaying and listeners can't even see her. In this conversation, she talks about being from Detroit, pursuing a career in music, and interpreting songs written by Randall Bramlett for her most recent album, LaVette. Let's listen to part of Allison's conversation with Betty LaVette.
You look like the happiest person I've seen this year.
I'm working on it. You know, why not?
Your smile is just so happy.
What do I got to complain about?
There you go.
When did you really realize you were going to pursue a career in music?
Did you notice when I started?
Tell us.
It 62 years ago. I guess I realized I was going to pursue a career in music about 15 years later. But I mean, I didn't have any career aspirations. I knew no one else in show business. I had never seen a show, a live show. Mm-hmm. So it was, I grew into what I did. You can be taught to do a lot of things, but you can't be taught to sing. Either you can sing or not. And only 2% of the people and birds in the world can sing. And since I could sing, I used singing to pursue all my other teenage interests, being a groupie, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't serious about it being a career for till I was about maybe 20 or 25.
What kind of music did your folks play around the house when you were a kid?
Well, my parents, I was born in Western Michigan. I'm from Detroit. I was born in Western Michigan, Muskegon, Michigan, in 1946. So if you wanted a drink after dinner at that point, after work at that point, you had to come to my house. My family sold corn liquor. Mm-hmm. We had a jukebox in the living room, and I was probably the only 18-month-old, first of all, who could speak clearly. But at 18 months old, I knew songs by B.B. King and Esther Phillips. I had a teenager sister who loved the contemporary people. And at that time, that was B.B. King, Esther Phillips. My father loved gospel and blues, so I knew gospel and blues songs. My mother loved popular music and country western, and I knew all of those songs. So
that's where you're
I got a pretty rounded thing, but I wasn't looking at it as a career. And not knowing, while at that point, as I said, there was no place you could go if you were Black. All of the gospel singers who came to Muskegon to perform at churches and whatever came to our house when the gospel singing was over to drink and eat the chicken sandwiches and barbecue sandwiches that my mother made. So I got a chance to see the Blind Boys of Mississippi and the Swan Silvertones and Sam Cooke the first week he was with the Soul Stirrers. And my sister was madly in love with him. They just all are like old people to me. I was only 18 months old. But my sister fell madly in love with Sam Cooke. And so that was what my childhood was like.
What, when you think back, what was the big break? What was the gig, the relationship, the business moment that really opened the door for you to become a professional?
It's, Allison, I think the reason I was permitted to write a book is because it isn't the questions you would ask me are I was 16 years old. First time I went on stage was the first time I went on stage. First time I'd ever seen a live show. I had a record in the charts 10 years before. That was big.
Yeah.
So then something else big happened almost 10 years later. And throughout my career, it's been big things and then nothing. But the biggest and most important thing to me that helped me gather a few more people in my 25th or 30th year, I was able to do the Kennedy Center Honors mm-hmm. and to perform at Barack Obama's inaugural party. And I more people saw me then than had ever seen me before. But it has been a step. It has been step by step.
Yeah.
This is my seventh Grammy nomination, maybe eighth. I don't know. I keep telling my audience I'm becoming the Susan Lucci of rhythm and blues. And I, while I don't even know what to tell you, Allison, at this point.
Well, let's listen to some music from the Grammy-nominated album, The Vet. Let's listen to In the Meantime, which features John Mayer on guitar. Let's hit it.
There's a great big old hole in this world of mine. And I'm doing my best to fill it. But I just can't seem to drink enough of that champagne wine to carry me through in the meantime. Of my used to be, telling everybody I'll be just fine. One day I know it's all coming back to me. Welcome to my life in the meantime. There's a face in the mirror that I swear was mine, but lately I hardly know it. Love, hope, and faith used to light up these eyes of mine.
That's In the Meantime from Betty LeVette's Grammy-nominated album, LeVette. My guest is Betty LeVette. We got a text for you, Betty. Someone has texted okay. in, please tell Ms. LeVette her performance on the Kennedy Center Honors seeing The Who's Love, Rain or Me is a video I return to on YouTube several times a year. It's pure perfection. Love her madly.
Oh, text him back and tell him I love him too.
Okay. Well, they're listening, so there you go. You got love from Betty LeVette today. Could the day get better? In the liner notes in this album, you called Randall Bramlett the best songwriter you've heard in the past 30 years. How were you first introduced to his music?
We were performing together, and I heard him singing. He was all by himself playing guitar, and I couldn't see him, but I heard him, and I liked everything I heard. I asked him, would he send me some of his stuff. I asked him, first of all, I said, do you let other people do it? He said, yes, if they will. So he sent me the song, and then my husband went into his catalog and found more songs, and I recorded two of them right away. That's been 10 or 12 years ago. But I kept the songs. We kept them. My husband keeps folders of me of things for me for of things I like or hope to record at some point, of all kinds of songs, and the category with Randall was getting bigger and bigger. So when I had the opportunity to do this thing with JV and with Steve Jordan, I said I have this parcel of songs I want to do. And when he listened to them, he liked them all as well. But I think I like him so much because he doesn't write in just one idiom. I like writers who write about Santa Claus and murderers. And, you know, I mean, for it to be that drastically different, one song from the other. You know, I know some really, really good writers, but they tend to write about a thing. And I have recorded many of those things. But Randall writes about just the darndest things. How do you write about being lazy?
Actually, you know what? That's the song we have, which is called, what is it? It's Lazy and I Know It?
Yeah.
Well, can we take a listen to that?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do? Here's Betty LeVette with Lazy and I Know It.
One time I had a day job. It didn't thrill me. They put me on this desk job, child, that like to kill me. I was supposed to do something. I still can't think what it was. Try to understand me. I gotta beat myself. Moving up a ladder, that for somebody else. Some folks think I'm lazy, but I'm working hard all the time in my mind. Lazy, and I know what you're gonna do. Stop wasting all your energy trying to make me be like you. Tell the truth now, y'all. Don't you wanna just dream sometime?
That was part of Allison's conversation with Betty LeVette about her album LeVette. I'm Kusha Navadar, I'm in for Allison Stewart. This is All of It from WNYC, and we'll have more after a break. This is All of It from WNYC. I'm Kusha Navadar, in for Allison Stewart, who's on medical leave. We're back with more of Allison's conversation with Betty LeVette and her album, LeVette.
Betty, you worked with producer Steve Jordan, someone you've worked with before. What do you like about him as a producer?
He knows, usually it's, if I can't do it myself, you can't figure out what I'm talking about. But he can figure out what I'm talking about. And he speaks music for me because I describe all of mine in animation. It's like I wanted to go like jigga 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 or whatever. And he says, she means she wants you to play. But he thinks along the same lines that I do. We've had many of the same experiences in life. And he immediately recognized me and who I was and just knows instinctively what I want. And that is just, especially at this point in my career and in my life, I am not for a bunch of, as my mother used to say, rigmarole. I just, you know, I pretty much want you to know what I want.
No doubt. Was it recorded here in New York City, this album?
Oh, you know, you were talking about him earlier and the list of things that Steven has done. You know, he's the new drummer for the Rolling Stones.
I had heard that. That's for real?
You didn't mention that.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you said it, because the internet. I saw it on the internet, but you never know with the internet. So I'm glad to know
Absolutely.
That it's for real.
Yes.
Did you record the album in New York? Is that right?
Yes.
What was something that was unique about the sessions this time around? You've done this a lot. Was there something unique about it, this experience?
I had an extremely unique experience. These musicians are some of the biggest musicians in the world. And they came in with Stephen and I from all over the world. And the day that everybody's booked, ready to go in and do lay the tracks down, I contracted COVID.
Oh, no.
So the most unique thing about this was that I did it just the way you and I are talking. That is the way we laid the track down. But I'm so glad that Allison, it's the musicians on the recording. Many of them have been on the other two that Stephen and I did. And the other ones are from Detroit, or Ray Parker Jr. played in my band when he was a teenager. Right. I met James Carter when he was getting ready to graduate from high school. And he would come and sit in with my music director at the time, Rudy Robinson, in Detroit. And John Batiste, mm-hmm. his father was in my band when I lived in New Orleans. So there was, I don't believe that I could have done it as successfully as we did it with some other mm-hmm. good musicians. All of these people had a personal involvement with me some kind of way. So they all took out their iPads. They had my face on their table next to them. I could see them all on the screen and they could see me. And we did the track that wow. way. And then by that time I was well, and I went into the studio and did my voice.
Well, first of all, I hope you're feeling all right. Yes?
Oh, I'm good. This was a year ago.
Okay. Just checking. Just want to make sure.
I'm holding on.
Protect Betty at all costs. And let's listen to that track featuring Ray Parker Jr. and John Batiste. This is Mess About It.
Everything had changed. There was something different about the way everything looked. I've been seeing little pictures running through my brain. When I used to run around on the North End.
About it from the album Lavette. Plan B was the first single released from this album. Why did you feel like that was the one you wanted to be the first track to come out off the album?
I just thought it was so different. Another thing about these songs, they sound as if they were written for me. And they sound as if this is exactly, I mean, people who've known me for years have said, it sounds just as if it's something you would say. Mm-hmm. And that's a unique thing about it. But Plan B is, I mean, I like the slickness of it. And I like the fact that it's very true. I don't know how to do anything else. I ain't got no Plan B.
Just so people can get a sense of how you take a song and make it your own, we're going to play a little bit of Randall Bramblett's version of Plan B and then play yours. Let's hear the
first one. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, let's hear the first one. Mm-hmm.
come in.
Worn out many times, beat up van, faded phone number on the back of my hand. Looking for a girl who used to live up here. I can still see her even though she disappeared. Hanging by a string, mumbling a prayer. A mojo busted and I don't have a spare. Might be a fool, but at least I'm free. That's why they love me. I got no plan B.
All right, let's hear Betty's version. Hit it.
Same old words, the same old song. I'm looking for a friend who used to live up here. I can still hear her voice even though she's disappeared. I'm dangling by a string, mumbling a prayer. My mojo's busted and I ain't got a spare. I might be crazy, but at least I'm free. But I ain't worried about it.
So yours is a little slinkier, a little vibe yeah. going on.
Well, I'm older than him.
Oh, how do you decide what changes to make in a tune? When you're deciding to interpret a song, what goes into your decisions to maybe slow the tempo down or to treat the vocals
song,
a certain
the
way?
The lyrics first. I'm often disappointed because actually the melody first or the movement of the tune. Sometimes I will fall in love with that and then the lyrics don't stand up to that. Mm-hmm. And there have been songs that I wanted to do that I just decided I'll hum them around the house because the lyrics just didn't stand up. And at this point, here again, all things are age considered. I can't sing something that's stupid. It can be funny, but it can't be stupid. And I can't sing what we call them, it's 10 and 2 songs. I can't sing a song with 2 short verses and then you do the chorus 10 times. I can't do that. It has to have a story. It has to go somewhere. And the lyrics have to be something I want to say. The only words I don't use is I'll kill myself, I'll die, or boy. I've never used those words in a song. You know, if you leave me, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I ain't going to die.
For real. 100% for real.
I knew you had that look on your face. I know mine when I see them.
Right here, Betty, right here. It has been such a pleasure to have you. Betty LaVette is nominated for a Grammy for her album, LaVette, for Best Contemporary Blues Album. This was a treat, Betty, speaking with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, Allison, thank you so much for talking with me. Where are you?
I'm in Soho, New York.
Okay.
So come by next time. Next time you're in the city, just swing by. Anytime. Open invitation.
Please come and see me as well. Send Kevin a message and say me and the person who I will not die if they leave me, it's coming with me. But it's been great talking with you, baby.
Betty, thanks so much. Let's go out on It's All Right.
Across the heavens, a slice of the beautiful blue. I'll follow this highway, but I know it won't lead me to you. The chill in the air, it leaves me exposed.
That was Betty Levette's conversation with Allison. The album is called Levette. And that's all of it for today. All of it is produced by Andrea Duncan Mao, Kate Hines, Jordan Loff, Simon Close, Zach Goddard-Cohen, El Malik Anderson, Luke Green, and Aki Camargo. Megan Ryan is the head of live radio. Our engineers are Juliana Fonda, George Wellington, and Jason Isaac. Luscious Jackson does our music. And hey, if you missed any segments this week, catch up by listening to our podcast. It's available on your podcast platform of choice. And if you like what you hear, please do give us a rating. And thanks. I'm Kusha Navidar, in for Allison. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you. And we'll meet you back here next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.